This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, and Jim Fennell, government fellow at the Geneva Center for Security Policy, a retired U.S. Navy captain who has long experience as Director of Intelligence and Information Operations of the U.S. Pacific Fleet. Jim, I want to look at the map, and I'm learning it. Oceania, from Pitcairn Island in the U.K. possession all the way to the Solomon Islands, now in contest between the Beijing Foreign Minister, Mr. Wang Yi, and the new Prime Minister of Australia, Mr. Albanese, because the Solomon Islands, scene of turmoil recently, is now in play. The U.S. does not have an embassy there. At the same time, the PRC shows up and makes promises about building things, about giving money. I mentioned Solomon's first because they're close in on Australia and because that's where Guadalcanal is. So it's Navy history I'm calling on. But what I understand is that vast area that you've flown and sailed, Jim, that vast area has not gained the attention of the Washington leadership for many decades. I call on your experience. Did you hear attention during the Reagan administration, during the Bush or the Clinton or the Bush or the Obama or even the Trump administration for the vulnerability of the U.S. fleet at the Hawaiian Islands if Kiribati becomes a Chinese airfield, or if Vanuatu becomes a Chinese airfield, or if the Marshall Islands are challenged by Chinese land-to-sea missiles, Guam killers? Did you hear talk like that all those decades, Captain?
Frankly, John, no, we did not really look to that area as a threat vector. And when schedulers at Pacific Fleet or Seventh Fleet were working on the ship schedules that they would plan out for the following year, we would talk about where ships would go. But generally, there was not much attention paid to the Oceania, the South Pacific. We would occasionally send one ship through maybe once a quarter or twice a year. But nothing that was really urgent to us like we are talking now today after China's made some significant inroads over the last 5 to 8 years.
Gordon, you have a question for the captain about the Chinese aggression in Oceania.
Jim, you just heard John talk about the vastness of the Pacific. You've been talking for a very long time about the inadequate number of ships that the Navy has. And clearly, when you talk about the Pacific, the question is, does the Navy have the assets to protect this large area?
And the answer is no. Not if you're going to also be prepared to defend South Korea from a North Korean attack and also be able to defend Japan from any incursions by China or Russia. And if you're going to defend Taiwan, and if you're going to have a presence in the South China Sea and show your allies that you're committed to being forward and front in a forward deployed naval force. So if you're going to do all those different mission sets, and then you're going to try to say, where am I going to also be able to send my warships, my gray hulls, we start running out. And so that's why you saw in the last decade, you saw, you know, different fits and starts of trying to say, well, we'll send a Coast Guard vessel there, or we'll send something else. And we're just undershipped in the Navy. And we have high quality ships. I agree, you know, with some of that. And so people say, well, we're going to have, you know, better quality than the Chinese. We can debate that. But the fact of the matter is you have to have hulls, you have to have platforms with military members on board that can go around and show the flag and show our commitment and resolve. And we didn't do that. And now we're watching countries like the Solomon Islands and Kiribati switch their recognition from Taipei to Beijing. And they're now they're signing security agreements with them.
Jim, in their most recent appropriations request, the Navy contemplates retiring about, 15 ships. Is that a wise idea at this particular moment?
No, there was a lot of concern with the executive branch, which is the Navy, and the president's submission of the budget, which I think would have retired maybe 24 ships total, cruisers and littoral combat ships. And I think the Congress has now stepped in here in the last couple of weeks and said, we're not going to retire all of them. But that's kind of a a bad way to look at this. Really, the question is, why are we reversing the trend that the Trump administration had taken, which was to start building our Navy up to try to get to what we had been talking about, 350 ships, or even, as the former Secretary of Defense Esper had said, well, maybe we need to have 500 ships, which 350 manned and another 150 that are unmanned. So there was a vision there to get us to this capacity and capabilities. And now we're seeming to be talking about what is the minimal thing we can do in the face of a very violent capability that the PLA and the PRC, Strategic Rocket Force and Space Force and Air Forces, can throw at us.
Jim Fennell, Geneva Center for Security Policy, Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. From the NATO document, the People's Republic of China's stated ambitions and coercive policies challenge our interests, securities, and values. That's NATO right now. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.